Hello, everybody. I'm Sally, a grateful recovering compulsive eater and food addict. Grateful to be sharing today. This is day 318 of abstinence for me. I've released 80 pounds, and I want to share how transformative this adventure has been. I've got my butterfly shirt. I've got my brand new butterfly necklace, breaking out of that chrysalis of shame and guilt and self-loathing, and being restored with that the spiritual reprieve that I get one day at a time. I really am restoring my beauty, inside and out, and I'm a new woman, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. I've had a lifetime pattern of compulsive eating and other compulsive behaviors. I grew up in a very achievement-oriented ho home in small town in Michigan, and both my parents had master's degrees. We were middle to upper middle class, and I lived with, I self-medicated by food, with food. The reality was that there's generational of workaholism and alcoholism and compulsive eating and drug substance abuse, drug addiction. My mother was on prescription pills. My dad skipped a generation. His father was an alcoholic, a violent alcoholic who died. I never knew him, but all that he was a rageaholic. So it was the same issues. I was very lonely. I had a lot of self-loathing. I remember when I was like four, was in kindergarten because my birthday's late in October, and I was so fearful of the teacher, I would cross the other way. I was also okay. So I turned to food. Food was my comfort. I felt very alone. I felt very different. So throughout my life, I turned to food through life. And I've had a lot of good things but happen in my life and continue to happen. But I want to show some of the challenges that I did and how I dealt with them. I threw up every single day of high school. So I guess that would be considered bulimia or purging. I don't know. And then I would do like things like restricting and food was a reward, food was punishment. And I was suicidal by the time I was probably 11. And since my parents were social workers, particularly my mother, I was medicated, which I feel like that was a way to suppress, control me and suppress my feelings, because I was actually very healthy in many ways, very active, very, very smart. And that was very threatening to them, because they couldn't have power and control over me. But I turned to food. I spent my 16th birthday in a psychiatric hospital after trying to commit suicide. I would keep turning to food, and I binged and purged, binged and purged. I would, I don't know how, I guess that was a higher power thing came out. I would just turn to food. I would lose weight. I would diet, gain weight. Still felt very, very worthless. And then do more, volunteered. I was babysitting for like probably seven children all the time by the time I was 10. I was just doing, 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 doing. An A student, doing, 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 but it never felt enough within myself. So I wanted to go, That's okay. And just very briefly throughout my life, you know, I married a violent alcoholic right out of, he was just home from Vietnam. It was perfect for my self-loathing. You know, he was very, very violent. There was not that kind of, oh, I was alcoholic, very, 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 very violent. I had my first child at 22, well, 21, got married when I was 21. A few months later, when I turned 22, yeah, he was born. And it was very, but that brought me, my higher power, that brought me into the Fellowship for Family and Friends of Alcoholics when I was 22 years old. So I've been around 12-step programs since I've been 22, which is a gift. I haven't always stayed there. I've been in and out a lot, but I'm very grateful for that gift from my higher power, because I one day at a time, I do break that cycle of those destructive things. But I could, so I was a single parent, lost custody to my alcoholic husband. There was a lot when my son was six, my ex-husband at that point. I went back to college all the time I would work, do more, reward myself with food. And then, you know, basically restrict when it wasn't good. And it never felt good enough. I didn't feel good enough. So, you know, and then I would run, you know, I had my forms of running. Food was one of the, I would sedate myself for food. It was rewarding. But then I would also, I wanted to do a geographic cure when I was, I went back to school, got a bachelor's degree in teaching. And, but, you know, and then taught for about in Detroit public schools for like 3 years. But never felt like enough. I thought, well, I need a PhD. When did I do that? No, I went back and got a master's degree, but that didn't feel like enough. I need to go get a PhD. I also need to get out of Michigan. A lot of my problems are that I'm in Michigan. So I got accepted at the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida. And so I went, but of course that wasn't the issue. Myself was still there and I wasn't, you know, I went in and out of 12-step programs, but I still felt like I can do it. If I just do more, I just know that my self-worth will go up. Well, it never worked for me. That never worked. You know, I got there and, the reality of academia wasn't for me. Well, it was in a way, but in other ways it wasn't. So after I met my person that I've been with for now 34 years. And it was a perfect storm in a way, because he was also from a very achievement oriented home in Ohio, even though I met him in Florida. So we were from very similar backgrounds. He had lived in college. His dad was a college professor. He'd lived in college, settings his whole life. So I did that, and we got married about a couple years later, adopted children. I was eating the whole time. I mean, not really eating, because I would be restricting and eating. So I was never that much overweight, but underneath, I never felt okay. I never felt like enough. So so what I would do is I would when after we adopt, I thought, well, if I get married and if I adopt these, I lost my first son, but I had a little bit of a relationship with him, but if we adopt two more children, we adopt these children, then I'll be like the perfect wife and perfect mother, and then I'll feel really good about myself. Well, that didn't work either. So I continued to use food, and I went to OA, actually went back when I was in Michigan. I always had, you know, I had compulsive behavior. So I was in various 12-step programs, went into food back when they had the gray sheet thing. And then went sometimes to OA a few times in the 90s, in the 2000s. I mean, I went to OA but never stayed. You know, I'd go to a few meetings. I just never stayed. But and then when okay, and so just very briefly, some of the things that I was dealing with. When my daughter, who we adopted, was, and I was a homeschool mom, very dedicated, very into natural things, ate very mostly vegetarian, vegan ever since I was in my 20s. But again, had a health unhealthy relationship, very obsessive, did not take care of myself, always sacrificing for other people, and trying to do more and more and more. So when I wasn't in paid employment, but I worked as a volunteer, many, many different causes. I've always been kind of somewhat of an activist. So I was in a lot of different causes and always a leader in those causes, but never felt good enough. Never was enough. So I was always a leader, always helping other people. And so, you know, when my daughter was 15, turned out the two children that I adopted, of course, also came from alcoholic families, and they were adopted as, anyway. But my daughter was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when she was 15, and then my son had ADHD. So I was ADHD. So I was dealing with a lot of things. When my husband, my husband got multiple myeloma, almost died, and I hadn't been in the workforce for. I was terrified. So, but how I dealt with all of that was through food. I didn't feel. Even though I was involved in 12-step, I don't know. I just didn't really trust my higher power to really love myself and accept myself. I felt full of guilt and full of shame and full of perfectionism. So to a certain extent, it was probably a geographic cure. Well, in some ways it wasn't, in some ways it wasn't. I had these high expectations for my son to... you know, I wanted him to get the PhD that I did not have or whatever, and that wasn't who his higher power, that's not really who he is. But when we moved to Florida, I mean, to Tampa, I came from Gainesville to Tampa, maybe a somewhat of a geographic cure, but it was also very, very good. It was all what I always wanted, basically. It was much, it wasn't as isolated. All this time, all the different things I tell you about, I felt very isolated. Came down here, all of a sudden, I'm not as isolated. I got into OA. I lost 55 pounds. But again, I wasn't real. And that was great. My husband was still in Gainesville. He hadn't retired yet. He came down after he came down. And I'm not saying it was just him, but I stopped. And I just tried to be focused on him. I stopped all my meetings. I stopped my meetings with the family of alcoholics, friends and family of alcoholics. I stopped my OA meetings for like 6 years. Okay, fast forward to pandemic. And I'm now, you know, I worked as it's, and all this time though I was working, of course, because that's what I do. You know, like my value is my work. So I started out tutoring. I hadn't been in the workforce like in 23 years because I had homeschooled my kids. So I started out as a tutor and then a substitute teacher, and I did that. And then I got a contract. And so I had a contract and the pandemic happened. And so I'm an English teacher and I'm basically just staying in bed and eating, and just the pandemic happens, and you know, people talk about you know, how people lost weight or they're doing all these healthy things for themselves and they're, you know, getting rid of their clutter. Well, I've been doing that, but only since I got abstinent into recovery 10 and a half months ago. I was in my bed. I wanted to tell a little bit about the hell of overeating that I came from. I was in my bed. I would be fantasizing about things, fantasizing about what my life used to be like, what I like it to be. I would be on playing online Scrabble for hours. I'd be on Facebook for hours. I'd be looking at other people's life. I was meddling in my son's life, chaotic family with the five step grandchildren and grandchildren. And I was meddling in that, over focused on that. Finally, I mean, it was so, the only thing I did was go to the grocery store once a week, We ordered in for food, all, I don't know. It was just eating, eating, eating. So what ended up happening is I got into OA, started working this, got a sponsor, worked the steps, just went. I never thought, I thought there's no way. When I was told about it, and I went into something called 90 Day that's very rigid. I'm no longer really am into that as much, but I mean, I'm not into the rigidity. But the structure and the discipline was good for me at a time, but I'm into something more gentle today. And it's not about the food for me today. It is about the food. It is about the food, but it's emotional. It's being gentle. It's out of that. I mean, to me, it was too, it reinforced shame. If I, and I don't, that's so where I'm at today, is, well, I, the steps, I worked the steps with one sponsor for 90 day sponsor, 90 day for like 6 months. And one of the things that really was very helpful with that was chipping away like 5 minutes a day. I talked to her every day for like 15 minutes, and that was very good. I'd send in the food plan every day. And but then after about 6 months, and then I was like still so emotionally isolated. I didn't talk at a meeting for about 4 months. And I would just, there would be like, I was hiding all the time. So I started coming one day at a time, being willing, and my higher power removed a lot of the obsession and the cravings through, and through the spiritual part of the program. And my feelings started coming up, and I no longer really wanted, that's what I think some of it was, that type of relationship where it's more one up. And it's what the I call it old timey AA type of stuff that was no longer for me. So, but and she basically, it wasn't a real easy. Well, no, she basically fight, said, she basically said, I'm never talking to you again. Which, that's to me part of my anyway. That's not a healthy way of that's not how I'm trying to communicate. What did she? I know actually she didn't really say. Well, she basically said, I had opened up so much to her. And there was a lot of trust for me. And but what I learned from that is to trust my higher power. I immediately jumped into another situation that was a somebody that was turned out was not very recovered in alcohol, drug addiction, or other. And then she asked me to be her sponsor. And then of course that's a perfect thing because I'm trying to feel her. So that, but what the really growth part of that is that I stayed my abstinence, stayed my program, shared with people, because all this time I still was doing all the suggested tools. So I had a lot of fellows that I was talking to, a lot of fellows every day I was talking to fellow, texting, and I continue to do that. So this time around, I prayed for my higher power. I didn't jump right in. The last one, somebody said, "Oh, this person would be great. She's loving. She's wonderful." I didn't try. I went to higher power this time, and people with more experience speak than hope. And it took me about 3 weeks to a month. I kept praying, and I didn't know what was going. A higher power said, "Okay, And the first person wasn't able to do it. Second person wasn't able to do it. The third person, it's a much more gentle, growth-oriented relationship today, because I no longer, and I'm just saying my experience, strength, and hope for me. I'm no longer putting my food in because the focus is not on my food for me today. I do a food plan. I very healthy food plan, but that's my commit that to my higher power. What I share with her every day is three gratitudes. I text her three gratitudes. Share on my action plan, which is. How do I stay in my program? It's usually prayer, meditation, breath work, doing things for myself because I sacrifice too much for others. And then I talked to her a half an hour, went back to the book, the OA 12 and 12. Really, I love that OA 12 and 12 because it's very structured. It's very structured, but it's very gentle. That works for me today. So that's and that's what I do. We've been to May 12th. Another miracle. I'm somebody that's loved to run. When I felt before, I felt like I was snubbed or whatever, I would just go and isolate and eat. This time, all the sponsors I told you about are in this local group, and I'm not running from it. So the first face to face 2 weeks ago who was there, the sponsor that was my sponsor, sponsee, was there doing service and doing all the stuff. And what my higher power, because I already, you know, said, what my higher power, what do I do? And basically it was like, do nothing. You didn't do anything wrong, you know, do nothing. So I'm pleasant, but I wasn't reaching out to her. Whereas my old self would have been, oh, why? Let's. And I was like, no, I've moved on and it's my higher power. And this other woman is still in the group, but she's also a therapist, was so triggering, my first sponsor, because both my parents are social workers, a violation of trust. But I've worked through so much of that stuff. And now I have so much healthier, I'm so much less isolated and so much more vulnerable. My relationship with my husband, my grandchildren, my children, my students, my coworkers, every day I get to be just a right-sized human being. I'm really looking for, you know, the future. I can live in a real life today. You know, there's a lot of stress, of course, but living a real life today, I'm not living in isolation today. I love this 5 a.m. reprieve group. I picked one group because I overdo meetings. People, maybe for me, I can overdo meetings and underdo taking care of myself. So I'm down to five OA meetings a week. I go to like every day, but I mean, before it was like more and more and more, and also working full time and doing all this stuff. It was not taking care of myself. I got back into getting massages, back to going to my acupuncturist, back to allowing myself to buy things for myself. Still have a lot of guilt about buying things for myself. So I am in eating more plant-based. That felt really good. It was different. I felt like I had to do everything that, you know, I don't have to do that. For me, I like, but it's not about the food. It's about the emotional, spiritual stuff. So I'm really looking forward to going to the first, this international OA convention in Orlando in August. And so I'm really looking forward to being there in person. I'm looking forward. I've had several sponsees that one lasted one day, one lasted a week, but now today I'm not in control. My higher power's in control. I wanted to share where I'm at right now is I'm at a normal body weight, which is like a total, because I came from 235 pounds. I am like amazed. But I'm maintaining that today, and I'm maintaining, and I just found that out a week ago, because again, I didn't think it was ever enough. I thought I think that's what my body's telling me. I also wanted to say, when I first came in, back, I couldn't walk 1 minute. I was in pain. I had so much, I was coughing. I talk more about the emotional health, but physically, I couldn't walk up the stairs at school. It was, I was like out of breath after 5 minutes. Now I do like about 2 hours of exercise a day. That's really optimum. Well, 1 to 2 hours. I try to have that be balanced. But I love moving again. I love swimming. I love being out in nature. On Sunday, I'm going to probably cry about this, but we're going to, you know, fly out to Seattle. I'm going to see my daughter. I haven't seen her in 3.5 years. And I'm going to hike Mount Rainier, like 3-hour hikes. So I just love that I can be back in touch with my body. I'm loving myself. I'm getting out of the shame the shame and the guilt and perfectionism one day at a time. The 7, 8, 9 steps were wonderful, but for me, hasn't been like a magic thing that everything higher power has magically turned everything into assets. I get a little bit of asset day by day, but it's not like this magic, potion thing for me. For some people, it may be. For me, it hasn't been, but it's one day at a time. Just taking those actions and doing step 10 is where I'm at today. Spot check inventory, you know, many times a day. You know, I'm usually too tired at night, so I do it in the morning. Like like the honesty. But I try to focus more on I am so shame based. I try to be more like, how did I live in faith today? Like the assets. How did I live in faith? How did I live in forgiveness? And particularly forgiving of myself, you know, that is still a process. How am I, I'm doing too, you know, am I doing too much? Am I asking for help? It's very hard for me to receive help. It's hard for me, you know, it's gotten better to receive from my higher power. I do spiritual practice 45 minutes in the morning. I try to. This meeting is part of my spiritual practice. Service, I'm trying, I do outreach. You know, I will have one sponsee at a time. And for me today, and a higher power will continue to ask that. But for me, living my recovery has been and continues to be a, you know, a top priority. Step
All
your
right,
love.
That's time. Thank you, Sam.
Okay, thank you very much.